Please open your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 13, and our subject this morning is we have no continuing city here. In this last study of the book of Hebrews, I'd like to consider with you the subject that this world is not our place. To remind us that we are living in a sin-cursed world that is winding down to the day of judgment soon. And it is a good reminder, as it is in our text, as we wrap up the study of the book of Hebrews, that the Christians, the world has no place for us. We are not permanent residents in this sin-drenched world. Like Abraham said in Genesis chapter 23 verse 4, we are a stranger and a sojourner in this life. However, we must not and should not, therefore, live our lives carelessly. As Christian believers, we are to live our lives carefully, with purpose, with meaning, and not living our life pessimistically. But we can, and we are, to live our lives, even in this cursed world, with joy and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Living each day for Christ, for His glory, for His honor, meaningfully and purposefully. At the same time, we are to be conscious of the fact that the Bible tells us that as we live our lives as pilgrims or sojourners in this life, a believer is to walk in a straight and narrow way. It speaks of a life of persecution, a life of affliction, a life of suffering, a life of reproach, a life contending even unto blood, striving against sin in our spiritual battle. It talks about wrestling, fighting, a race, a struggling, and witnessing. The Lord Jesus says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Moreover, He also said to us that we should be hated of all men for Christ's sake. Our text or our anchor text reads, let us go forth therefore unto Him without a camp, bearing His reproach. The disciples of Christ, believers, must expect to follow their Master, the Lord Jesus, not merely in obedience to His doctrines, but also in the reproach which gathers about His cross. Our Lord Jesus has no life of pleasure and of ease. We know from Scripture, and particularly from the book of Isaiah, that He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And let us rest assured that we as believers, we bear faithfully our testimony. And if we bear faithfully our testimony, we likewise will discover that as disciples of Christ, as servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not above the Master, nor the disciples above His Lord. Christian must expect, if the Christian soldier be really a soldier and not a mere pretender in a battle, that he will have to fight until he or she joins the church in heaven, the church triumphant. If the church be properly pictured as a ship, she must expect to have storms. And everyone on board this ship must expect to bear his or her share. Let us bear this in mind as believers. If you are in Christ, you must expect tribulation. You must expect spiritual warfare. Our Lord Jesus again says, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. To every Christian believer is given this warning from scripture, or warnings of from scriptures of tribulation, of suffering, of cross-bearing. For bearing the cross is the way to heaven. And if need be, for some, it will be resistant unto blood, striving against sin. Our text seems to convey that thought to us most powerfully. And let us take it up. And the first thought is this, from our text, the believer's pathway. Let us go forth therefore unto him. The believer's pathway is let us go forth without the camp. The divine command is not let us stop in the camp and try to reform it. Things are not quite right. Let us therefore stop and make matters right. But the Christian watch cry is let us go forth. The German reformer Martin Luther heard the voice of God. Come ye out from among her, lest ye be partakers of her plagues. And therefore he led the band and take his watchword, let us go forth without the camp. To this day, the Christian duty is not to linger in the camp of worldly conformity, hoping perhaps that the world will get better, or they themselves trying with their effort to change the world for good. It is not the believer's duty to conform to the world and to the ways of the world, says the Apostle Paul in Romans 12:2. The command from the first day, from the first to the last day of the Church of Christ, the place of witness is not inside, but outside the camp. And the true position of the Christian is to go forth without the camp, not just going forth, going forth without the camp, bearing Christ's reproach. Are you prepared to bear Christ's reproach? In this respect, Abraham becomes an example to us. God's first word to Abraham is that he should leave his father and his kindreds and the idolatrous house in which he lived, and to go to a land which God should show to him. To go in the right way, faith must be his guide, providence his provision, and the living God his only keeper. The separate life of Abraham in the midst of the idolaters in Canaan is an illustration of the separated walk of the Christian believers in this world. The Church of God is to be distinct, separate from all other worldly corporations or community. Why? They are a peculiar people, and her spirit is not of this world. So then, what is meant by this going forth without the camp? I understand it to mean, first of all, that every Christian is to go forth by a open or a public profession of his faith. Are you ashamed of Christ? If you are a genuine Christian, you must come out and avow yourselves that you are on Jesus' side. You may be Christians and make no profession. If you do not profess to be a Christ, or rather profess to be on Christ's side, then we are forced to accept your confession of having no interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not one of his. If you are truly in Christ, then come out, Christians, Your master commands you and warns you in Luke 9:26 saying, For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. If you be Christian, if you are one, truly one, there is really nothing discreditable in it. We are to stand up and stand firm shoulder to shoulder with the people of God and say, I will go with you because the Lord is with you. That should be our position as Christian believers. Next, the Christian is to be separated from the world as to his friendship or companionship. He or she must interact like other men in the world, but yet he or she is not to find his bosom or her bosom friends in it. He is not to go out of the society and shut himself up in the monastery. He is to be in the world, but not of it. And this I'm sure you know very well. He or she is to associate with those of like-minded faith if he or she wants meaningful and good Christian fellowship. The injunction to every Christian believer is this: be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. This may cost you a lot, and you may suffer for it, but it must be obeyed. You must follow Christ, whatever the sacrifice may be to you, remembering that unless you love Christ better and more than husband or father or mother, and yea, your own life also, you cannot be Christ's disciple. If these terms are too hard for you, as some Christian may find, if these terms are too hard for you, then turn your backs and perish in your sin. Count the cost, and if you cannot bear such a cost as this, do not undertake to be a follower of Christ. The Christian is to come out not only from world's friendship, worldly pleasures and sin, but the true followers of Christ must also come out of the world's ideologies and philosophies. We are to come out from all this defilement. Be separated. Touch her not. Have no communion with her false doctrines. For each believer who know the truth, our place is with Christ without the camp, bearing his reproach. I'm sure our text contains more than all this. And I would to God that this church, our church, will take up her true position now and be separate in all things from anything that defiles and that which is false. Secondly, we have in our text, beside the pathway, we have the Christian leader, the Christian's leader. It does not say, let us go forth without the camp merely, but let us go forth therefore unto him. Here is the call of the text, unto him. What it means is this: let us have fellowship with Christ. He was despised, he was unloved, he was mocked in the streets, he was spat upon, he was hounded from among society. If I do not follow Christ in the way of the cross, I have no fellowship with Christ. Again, if I am to follow Christ, I am to follow his example. What Christ did, that I am to do. I am to go forth unto Jesus, to be under his lordship. Follow the Lord Jesus and no one else, and then you will be separated indeed from the rest of the world for God's use. As believers, you are to go forth unto him, and that is to go forth to his truth, to his gospel truth, through biblical truth. Wherever I see his truth, I will humbly receive it, submit to it, whenever I see error, I am to firmly denounce it without hesitation. I am to take God's word to be my only standard. And just where his word leads me, there I am to go, no matter where. I am to bend all my will to his book. I may have conceived prejudices, but they must give way before his truth. There is nothing in this world in comparison with the word of God, the truth of God's word. As a Christian believer, I am and I can to go forth to Christ's witness bearing. The church today sadly does not believe in witness bearing, but the whole Bible is full of it. You see in scripture, the duty of every Christian is to bear witness for the truth. Christ says, "For this purpose was I born and came into the world." Christians who knows the truth but keeps his or her lips quiet, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace, is a sorry Christian. What the Lord Jesus desire for his church today is a group of men and women who are prepared to be singular. So long as to be singular is to be right. God, Christ wants men and women who are bold, unflinching, lion-hearted, who love Christ first and his truth next, and to esteem Christ and his truth beyond all the world. Men and women whose holy lives and conduct and testimony are consistent with the truth of God's word. Blessed are those Christians, believers, who dare to take their stand with Christ today. We are to be careful, however, that it is to Christ we go, not to party, not to denomination, not to anything but Christ and his truth. It is Christ we are to care for, and Christ's truth. And this we are to follow, and clinging to Christ's cross, fighting a way straight through where Christ himself fought and opened the path to his kingdom. Then thirdly, we come, noticing here, Christ, or rather the Christian reason for bearing Christ's reproach. The Christian reason for bearing Christ's reproach. And going without the camp. It is in the text. Let us go forth therefore. There is a reason. Why? First, because the Lord Jesus Christ went that way. He bore and suffered without the gate. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, or separate the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Christ came into the world pure and holy, and his life and his testimony were a witness against sin. The Lord Jesus would not conform to the ways of the world. Nobody shall say that Christ was either self-willed or harsh, or that he hated other men. Nothing of the kind. Never was there such pure generosity, such love for sinners, such overflowing affection for sinners, as you find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus did not side with either the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Christ's pathway was ever an independent one. He committed himself to no man, for he knew what was in man. The whole of Christ's life through, you cannot mistake him for a Pharisee or a Sadducee or any one of the other teachers. Christ stands out like a lone beacon of light, separate and apart from all darkness, and so must the Christian. Christ was separate, and so must we. Christ was pure, holy, truthful, so must we, the Christian believer. Let us either renounce our profession of faith, or else seek the Lord's grace to be like our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Moreover, the connection of the text tells us that Christ set apart his people by going without the camp, that he might sanctify his people. He suffered without the camp. Christ's separation was in order that his people might be separated. Separated from the world. Christ, the head of the church, is not of the world. So must the Christians. Our head is despised and rejected so shall the members be. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world rejects Christ, so shall the world reject the Christian believers. If we be truly one with Christ, we must expect to be rejected too. Christ's separation is the type and symbol of the separateness of all the elect children of God. Again, God's will is to have his people separate for their own sanctification. Believers cannot grow in grace to any high degree while you are conformed to the world. The path of separation may be a path of suffering, but it is the path of safety and peace. And though it may cause you much pain and make your everyday life a better, yet it is a happy, blessed life after all, through Christ. Though men and women of the world may frown upon Christians, but Christ so sweetly smiled upon every one of his children that he cares for no man. Christ reveals himself as a sweet refreshment to the soldiers of the cross after the battle, so that the soldier feels more calm and peace in the day of battle than in his hours of rest. The pathway of holiness, brethren, is the pathway of communion. You cannot live near to Christ and yet kowtow to the world. A blot on your conscience will certainly separate Christ from you, just like in communion. Be pure, be clear, be chaste as before the Lord, and you may walk as on the mountaintop, having the Lord Jesus Christ for your companion, enjoying with him a heaven on earth. It is possible to enjoy Christ with Christ a heaven on earth. Let us close with this last thought and reason. So we shall hope to win the crown of glory if we are enabled or empowered by his Holy Spirit faithfully to follow Christ in all respects. Is not this crown of glory a treasure? Is the crown of glory a treasure to you? Eternal life, likeness to Christ, sitting at his right hand. Do you not hear the harps of the angels, the songs of the redeemed? Do you not hear them as in the psalm of joyfulness they salute the Lord, their God, with thanksgiving? Our pilgrim journey and our condition here may be a moment of shame, or rather maybe a moment's shame, and then an eternal honor, a little while of witness bearing, a little while of suffering, a little while to be rebuked and hated by the world, but then forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. This reward is so great that it goes beyond the light affliction, which is but for a moment, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:17. Oh, brethren, we are denied the honor of those favored Christians who died for Christ. Our weak spirit loved these easy times. But after all, the days of honor were the days of persecution, and the times when believers won brightest crowns were when they suffered and were afflicted most. I fear the Church of Christ is growing sleepy. Indeed, many Christians have lost muscle and nerve. The saints of old willingly and boldly died, even for half the truth of God's word. But nowadays, I say, we would not die for the whole Bible, though in our ages, saints would have died for the dot of an I or the cross of a T. Oh, brethren, may God be merciful to restore to us more grace, more piety, more love for souls, more care for the kingdom of Christ, a higher esteeming of the truth, and the determination solemnly avowed before the Lord Jesus Christ that come what may, we will contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. For those who are united to Christ, remember, you stand upon the rock of ages, confident that God will defend the righteous in Christ, and they are, and they at the end shall come off victorious, and God give you grace to take your place without the camp, and cheerfully and joyfully to bear Christ's reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. But alas, alas, sadly, some of you cannot bear Christ's reproach. You cannot go outside the camp. Why? Because you have no vital faith. You have not believed in Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Oh, dear friends, you are not to carry Christ's cross first, but to look to that cross for salvation. And when Christ has saved you as He will, if you trust in Him, then take up your cross and carry it and praise the name of God from this time forth, even forevermore. Or else you will not be able to go forth outside the camp. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal, loving Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance your word and your truth. And that, Lord, you will help us to examine our own hearts, whether we are truly in Christ. And if we are, indeed, grant us much grace that we may go forth unto him, our Lord Jesus, without the camp. That you may grant much grace to each one of your children, that we may bear your reproach. For we have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. And we look forward to that one to come. So, Lord, we praise and thank thee for those of us who are your children. And we pray that, Lord, in this new week, that thou will grant us much grace, the help of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, that we may live our lives that glorifies thy holy name. For those who are outside of a kingdom who do not know thee, O Lord, we pray, be merciful and gracious to draw them unto thyself, that they may know the Lord Jesus, that they may be brought into the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that you will make them your witnesses for thy glory. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.